This is Liberation Radio.
Capitalism needs poverty.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
Whatever we could do, we're gonna do, especially in continuing to preserve this earth.
Each week, we bring you interviews, commentary, analysis, political developments, and struggles affecting workers throughout the country as a way to build the movement for socialism in the United States.
The revolution will be broadcast.
The only thing that will ever defeat racism will be the defeat of its parents, capitalism and imperialism.
Without smashing mass incarceration, working people of all nationalities cannot have justice.
Liberation Radio is brought to you by the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Welcome to Liberation Radio. I'm your host, Sean Garcia. On this episode, we get an analysis on the real goals of the U.S. in the nuclear agreement with Iran. But first, we're playing part three of the presentation where Ben Kabamba, a Congolese youth leader, provides the history and update on the resistance movement against neocolonialism in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. This is the final part of the Congolese series, so please check out our last few episodes to hear the first two parts, and you can go to our website, liberationradio.org, to hear those.
Et à ce moment-là que nous avons réalisé que c'est une force d'occupation parce qu'ils ne respectent pas le peuple.
And at this moment, we understood that we're dealing with an occupation force because they don't respect the people.
Parce que le 17 janvier, c'est le jour où nous nous sommes nés.
Because January 17th is our birth date. That's when we were born.
Le jour qu'on a assassiné Emery Patrice Lumumba, c'est le 17 janvier.
The day that Patrice Lumumba was assassinated was January 17th.
Quand on a tué un Patrice Emery Lumumba, que nous nous sommes nés beaucoup de Lumumba à ce moment-là.
When they killed one Patrice Lumumba on January 17th, that was the day when we, the many Lumumbas, were born.
Et c'est une journée fériée.
And it's a paid holiday.
Mais ils sont allés travailler là-dessus parce que nous on sera à la maison. Nous avons décidé d'aller là-bas.
We the members of a parliament, even though it was a paid holiday, they went to work on that day to address this law. We were at the house and we were in our homes and we decided that we need to get into the streets.
Et c'est à ce moment-là que nous nous sommes énervés pour dire cette loi ne passera pas.
And that's when we decided that we are gonna do everything in our power to make sure that this law doesn't pass.
Ils ont fait venir des militaires, des chars de combat et des policiers pour encercler là où ils travaillent au palais du peuple.
The government then sent the military to circle they call it Palais du Peuple, the People's Palace, where the members of parliament work. So they send the military and tanks into the street to do a cordon around the People's Palace, where the elected members were working.
Et le 19 janvier, nous sommes décidés d'aller dans la rue, et on était dans la rue.
On January 19th, we decided to go into the streets, and we were in the streets.
Et nous étions là malgré leur dispositif militaire. Ils ont tiré sur nous. Il y a eu des morts dans notre réseau Filimbi. Il y a eu 15 morts.
We were in the streets, irrespective of their military presence. While we're in the streets, they fired upon us. And within our network, the Filimbi network, 15 people lost their lives.
Et c'est là, on était encore dans la rue le jour suivant.
And then we were back in the streets again on the next day.
Le jour suivant encore, on était dans la rue le jour J qui devrait voter cette loi.
And we were back again in the streets on the next day, when, on that particular day that the Senate was to vote on the law.
Et ils ont eu peur, ils ont enlevé l'article qui dérangeait.
And they were fearful, so they amended the law to remove the article in there that would ultimately tie the census to the elections.
Et après, on va constater qu'il y avait 7 parmi nous qui étaient touchés par balle et ils sont à l'hôpital jusqu'à ce moment.
And we noticed after there were 7 among our group who were suffered from gunshot wounds and they were in the hospital.
Et là, vous pouvez voir le jeune Jean. La plupart, ils n'ont plus rien à perdre, en fait. Ils ont perdu leur vie. La vie n'a pas de sens pour eux. Parce que les plus riches au Congo, ce sont des politiciens.
So here we see the people in the streets. They had no fear, no concern. Because really, when you look at those who have means in the country, those who are the most wealthy, they're the politicians. So they're in the streets, no fear.
Et vous allez voir que c'était dans plusieurs quartiers. Ça, c'est un autre quartier où le jeune était aussi dans la rue.
This took place in many many neighborhoods. Peut-être vous pouvez expliquer les quartiers de Kinshasa. They were in the streets. Here again, you see the youth in the streets.
Oui, il y en a encore. On était réellement dans la rue.
Here again, you see us. We're in the streets.
Il y en a encore.
They're in the streets. And then just to give you a sense, Kinshasa is larger than New York. Has 11 million people. I think New York has like 8 million. So they're in the streets with 24 what they call communes or neighborhood.
Et il empêchait les gens d'aller marcher. Alors on s'est organisé dans des communautés pour mettre le feu dans la route pour les empêcher aussi de venir vers nous. Et la ville était paralysée pendant autant de jours.
We organized in different neighborhoods, and as a result of the way we organized, prevented the military from coming into the neighborhoods, and they're burning tires and other materials.
Et là, c'est l'un de nous qui a été touché par balle et s'était entré ici et ressorti ici.
That's one of our colleagues who suffered from a gunshot wound. It entered through the side and came out through the chest.
Il y en a encore un autre. Lui, il est à l'hôpital.
He's at the hospital.
Et lui aussi, il avait eu le balle. On a tiré sur lui. C'est entré ici et c'est sorti ici. Je crois que lui ne marchera plus. Mais il continue la lutte.
So he was hit by a bullet. It went through one leg, came through the other. And it's possible that he may not walk again. But he's going to continue the fight nonetheless.
Donc pour nous, la lutte, lui, il était touché à la jambe ici.
The bullet went through his foot.
Pour nous, si vous nous baillonnez, donc si vous nous empêchez de parler, on va écrire.
For us, if you prevent us from speaking, we're going to write.
Et si vous nous empêchez d'écrire, on va bouger.
Block us from yelling or screaming or raising our voices, we're going to move. We're going to move.
Et si vous m'empêchez de le faire, les autres vont le faire.
And if you block me from doing it, others are going to also get engaged.
Mais ce qui est plus important est qu'ils ne peuvent pas nous tuer. Bien qu'ils ont les armes, ils savent que nous sommes plus dangereux morts que vivants.
What is important is that they know that they can't really kill us. We're more dangerous dead than we are alive.
C'est-à-dire, ils peuvent tuer le corps, mais l'esprit est là. Ça continue. On doit travailler encore et encore.
That is to say, they can kill the body, but the spirit lives, and we're going to return again and again and again.
Et là, c'était une fille qu'on a tirée dessus, qui était avec nous, et elle a reçu la balle ici et c'est là. Elles sont encore à l'hôpital aussi.
This is a young lady. They fired on her. The bullet went through her groin and came out her back, and she's still in the hospital.
Il y a ceux qui sont aussi blessés.
The others who have been injured.
Lui-là était mort. Il avait reçu une balle. On a même retiré la balle.
He was killed by a gunshot, and they even took the bullet out that killed him.
Lui, il était blessé.
He was injured.
Pour ne pas exposer les gens qu'on est en train de prendre juste là où il y a les problèmes.
In order not to expose the people, we took the pictures just where the injury was. And actually, these pictures, I took them myself personally in the hospital.
Ça, c'est la balle qu'on avait retirée de celui qui était mort.
That's the bullet that they took out of the person who was the young man who was killed.
Et ça, nous nous sommes organisés pour aller amener à manger à ceux qui étaient à l'hôpital, blessés, etc.
This is a picture of sustenance that we brought to our colleagues who were in the hospital, you know, water, juice, food, so that they can have food to eat. They can sustain themselves in the hospital.
Et comme j'avais dit, tout c'est nous qui payons, la population qui paye, les parents.
We are the ones, who pay for this.
Et nous sommes en train de nous organiser maintenant pour payer pour qu'ils quittent l'hôpital.
We're in the process right now of organizing to pay for them to be able to leave the hospital.
Pendant qu'on était dans la rue, ils ont coupé l'internet, ils ont coupé les SMS pour nous empêcher de communiquer.
When we were in the streets protesting, they cut off the internet, they cut off SMS in an effort to prevent us from organizing.
Parce qu'on était déjà en train de recenser les morts et il y avait déjà 42 morts et ils ont coupé la communication. Les organisations internationales, ils ont publié 42 morts.
We were in the process of documenting the number of people who were dead. There was already 42 dead, and international organizations had already reported that. But they had cut off the internet in an effort to block us from our work in documenting the number of people who have died.
Les organisations de la communauté internationale, les organisations internationales, ils ont publié les rapports selon lesquels il y a eu 42 morts. Mais il y avait plus de communication pour nous permettre de savoir ce qui s'est passé réellement à la fin.
So the international organizations reported there are 42 dead, but there was no more. Weren't able to communicate to document those who the numbers that went beyond 42 dead.
Et ce qui est encore étonnant est que le porte-parole du gouvernement dit il y a eu seulement 11 morts.
What is astonishing is that the government spokesperson said that there were only 11 people dead.
Il dit seulement.
He said only 11 people dead.
Et ils ont décidé de payer les articles des Chinois parce que le peuple est affamé. Les Chinois sont en train de maltraiter les gens. Les gens, les policiers et la population, ils ont même pris des histoires des Chinois. Mais le gouvernement a décidé de payer les histoires des Chinois et non le vis humain.
So the government. During the protests, people were in the streets. They went into stores owned by Chinese, and what the government and looted those stores, took materials out of those stores. And what the government has decided to do is to compensate the Chinese, and which demonstrated to us that they cared more about the material well-being of Chinese than the lives of the Congolese people.
Il y a aucun militaire et aucun policier qui est jugé par rapport aux morts. Mais plutôt, ils ont arrêté la population pour dire qu'ils étaient allés piller. Ils ont arrêté plus de 400 personnes.
So not one single military, police official, or anything was faced justice for the number of people dead. Nonetheless, they've arrested 400 people for what they call looting and pillaging.
Et c'est ce qui nous dérange, c'est ça. Donc.
And that's what really angers us.
Les gens sont morts, vous ne les enterrez même pas. Vous ne récompensez pas leur famille.
The people are dead. You don't bury them. You don't compensate their family.
On ne juge pas les militaires ni les policiers qui ont tiré sur les gens.
You don't call to justice or the police or the military that were responsible for killing the young people, the youth.
On traite la population de pillards.
And they de pillards.
De pillards, les gens qui sont allés piller.
Look at the population like they're looters.
Et avant-hier, par exemple, parce qu'il y avait aussi la lutte, c'était beaucoup plus à l'université de Kinshasa. Et avant-hier, ils sont allés à l'université pour demander à la population, aux étudiants, de quitter l'université parce qu'ils voulaient réhabiliter.
A lot of the action took place at the University of Kinshasa, and day before yesterday, government went to the university and asked the students to leave because they wanted to rehabilitate the residents or establish new residence halls for them.
Et les amis m'ont appelé pour dire il faut rentrer ici parce que il commence encore à nous déranger, nous devons rentrer dans la rue.
So my God calls and my colleagues asked me to get back as soon as possible because the government is beginning to move against us again and we need to get back in the streets.
Et je rentre demain pour ça.
And tomorrow morning, I'm going back to the Congo for that.
Again, that was part 3 of the presentation by Ben Kabamba. You can hear the whole presentation in full in a pretty lengthy question and answer section on the Friends of the Congo website, which is www.friendsofthecongo.org. And again, we want to thank the Friends of the Congo for letting us rebroadcast that presentation. You're tuned in to Liberation Radio, and you can check us out on our website, liberationradio.org. On Facebook at facebook.com/Liberation Radio Show and on Twitter at the handle Liberation Radio. I
and never been tooken. Go uptown to the Bronx and boogie down. Get strong on the island, recoup and lay around. Time to build my juice back up. Pop stack up. Suckers get smacked up. Don't doubt the clout. You know what I'm about.
Next, we speak with Eugene Puryear of the PSL in Washington, D.C. He provides an analysis of the U.S.-Iran nuclear agreement after months of negotiations. The Obama administration and its wing of the ruling class has reached the conclusion that Iran, as a regional power, cannot be eliminated. And we speak about what this means for Iran and for the rest of the Middle East. All right, Eugene, is the Iran deal a done deal?
I think that more or less, yes. When you look at what's happening now, the biggest issue is, well, the biggest issue seems to be on the American side, and I think it has to do with whether or not Congress has to weigh in. And certainly, you know, there is some gray area here. I mean, the president is claiming that he has the authority to, you know, just do this deal, but it would be good for Congress to weigh in on the, you know, on the proposal and get the support from, the perspective of showing national unity. But Congress, Republicans and many Democrats, I mean, I guess all Democrats, although some are more vociferous than others, are asserting that Congress has a constitutional right to weigh in on the legislation. And so it seems as if that's not necessarily going to matter because the president, it looks like, you know, whatever the deal, as long as the deal they negotiate in this between now and June with the final details, if he goes ahead, then at the end of the day, it will be implemented. And then sort of once you get into it, you can't walk it back. I mean, there is some precedent, or I mean, not some precedent, but some issue maybe on the Iranian side. I mean, it seems as if the Iranian leadership is behind the deal. The Ayatollah spoke recently, and he said that he would continue to support the negotiators in the path of President Rouhani. And so I think that from that perspective, it seems like the devil is always in the details. That on the Iranian side, though, the basic framework works, pending a little more talking. And I think given the fanfare that it was announced with the Obama administration, this makes you think that they're going to work out the details at the end of the day.
And so why did the U.S. negotiate?
Well, I think the U.S. negotiated because it recognized that it couldn't overthrow the Iranian regime. I mean, I think there's no doubt that really ever since the overthrow of the Shah, who was the American puppet in Iran at the time, really the United States and the Islamic Republic have more or less had bad relations. The United States has hoped that they would not be the government. And of course, there's been different periods of rapprochement and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, in the most recent Bush era, Iran was obviously one of the most marked countries on the list of the axis of evil. And clearly, you know, the goal was to try to get Iraq, Iran, North Korea, the independent states from the point of view of the imperialist world system, the ones that were maybe not the ones, but some of the states that were most indicative of trying to not negotiate with the United States. They did want to negotiate and trade, have an economic relationship, but also not be under their dominance. And that obviously, from the point of view of the American Empire, is unacceptable. So all of this being said, it's clear that Iran is a very strong country. The government has a lot of backing. They have a military that's obviously very serious, and it will be something to reckon with, indeed, with deep reservoir support with the population, significant support all across the region and really around the world from a diplomatic perspective. And the basic moral principles that are at work are things that other countries speak to. So that's also why you see Iran getting a lot of support around the world. It's not just about Iran, but that it becomes a proxy for many countries who, at the very least, want the right to determine what type of science they can do, which is really a lot of what this is about. something I think certainly will, I mean, maybe I think hopefully we'll get to this and talk about whether Iran's a threat and come back to that point. But at the end of the day, they couldn't overthrow them. Even you had the Israeli program establishing the Iranian scientists in 2009, 2010, and still, they were making progress on a scientific front. And so ultimately, all elements, the low-intensity warfare and everything that was happening was failing to legally overthrow the Iranian regime. It was putting pressure on them, the sanctions as well, putting pressure on them. But it wasn't, it was obviously not leading to the right deal. And, you know, eventually you have to recognize that fact. But I think we should note, as with Libya, this was the case. Now, Libya did agree to give up its nuclear science program and alleged nuclear weapons program, and was able to start to negotiate with the West. But still, at the very first chance they had, the Western nations, the imperialist countries, they jumped at the chance to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi and threw the country into complete chaos. And so you see that even though now there's sort of a rapprochement, it's a recognition of the fact that Iran can't be overthrown, and that a war would be disastrous, not only for that, further for that region, but obviously Americans wouldn't stand for that. So I think the U.S. was put in a position where they more or less had to negotiate. It was the best option they had in order to keep some control over the broader situation in the Middle East, which is obviously their goal, is worldwide hegemony.
Right. And so what would be the motivation? Why did Iran get in on the deal?
Well, I think it speaks to the fact that it did take a toll. They obviously were not being defeated, but you see significant pressure on the economy from sanctions really hurting a broad swath of people, but especially working class people feeling it. The attacks, things like the assassination program by Israel and other types of low-intensity warfare, and of course the sanctions I just mentioned, the economic warfare. And so just a continuum of this pressure, this warfare, you know, even by direct and indirect means, I think created a situation where Iran was more or less forced to either negotiate and try to come to some sort of deal, some sort of understanding, bring some stability to the situation, or face a very unsure situation with the most powerful country in the world, a significant portion of whom ruling class is gunning to overthrow your state. Allowing them to, you know, who knows, maybe gain the upper hand and wage a disastrous war. Or, and, you know, you're not going to get international support because you're up the back of the United States as a junior partner of the same system. So you don't know what's going to happen. And you take the stability of making a deal, if it's a deal you can live with at least, and I think Iran could, then you're going to make that deal. And I think it speaks to the fact of the nature of the empire. Some people say, oh, it's not an empire, but the very fact that Iran was put in this position shows that just these two countries, America and a few European countries, have their hands on the lever, and that they can pull them, and when they pull them, it hurts. And, you know, a lot of times, and I think this is how we also have to look at it, some people may criticize Iran for capitulating or whatever. They didn't really capitulate, because certainly they were forced in a position where they had to give significant concessions, but at the same time still maintain the basic principle that they have the right to enrich uranium and to have a nuclear program. And essentially the right to have advanced science and operate advanced scientific facilities in their country. And also submitted to, even though they're submitted to a deep, rigorous regime, they're still able to maintain this basic right, which I think is something almost very few countries are able to define these countries just like that, but at the end of the day, they can cause enough pain by their control of all elements of the international economic system, all of its tentacles, to, you know, make concessionary conditions necessary for Iran.
And so is Iran really this existential threat that it's made out to be?
Well, I mean, I think what I spoke to just now really alludes to that. I think obviously no. I mean, from a balance of forces perspective, purely and alone, I mean, you know, for some reason, it's always small countries like Iran and North Korea, previously Iraq or Libya, are always spun as this great threat to the United States, which is this huge military that everyone acknowledges is the biggest, most powerful military in the whole world. Not one person would ever deny that fact. There's bases in dozens upon dozens upon dozens of countries, fleets all over the world, enough nuclear warheads to destroy the whole world more than once over, first and second strike capabilities, satellite coverage of the entire world, an intelligence apparatus that can take in almost every phone call or anything else like that that's being made. And somehow people are saying, well, no, it's these other countries that don't have anything one hundredth of that power, reach, influence that are the real threat. I think that it's completely overblown. And I think it really just speaks to the fact that the assumptions, many of the base assumptions of the mainstream discourse are so infected with the propaganda, I guess you could say, and those tiny elite, the 1%, the ruling class, whatever you prefer, the capitalist class, that controls the wealth and ultimately, as they say, he who has the gold makes the rules, so controls the country. And I also have to say, I think that's relevant to this, Iran, one of the most consistent elements of their foreign policy, interestingly enough, is that they support a nuclear-free Middle East, or a nuclear-free zone in the Middle East, which the United States does not for, because they don't want to own up to what's going on with Israel's nuclear weapons, which, of course, are undeclared, and they submit to no sanctions and are freely allowed to do so with the tip of the cap from the United States. So I think that's also worth noting.
That's all for Liberation Radio. I'm Sean Garcia. Please remember this program is available free for broadcast by community and public radio stations. You can encourage your local radio station to air Liberation Radio. They can visit liberationradio.org for details. Tune in next week for more from the Struggle for Justice.
You have been listening to Liberation Radio, a weekly program from the Party for Socialism and Liberation. You can find us online at liberationradio.org to listen to past shows and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Some of what you heard during this program are Creative Commons licensed compositions. Our theme music and some music segments were performed by Six Fingers and used with permission of the artists. Liberation Radio is produced by the Party for Socialism and Liberation to help build the struggle for socialism in the United States. The PSL is a party of activists and organizers. We are in the streets at the demonstrations and picket lines, opposing cutbacks and attacks on workers, standing up to police brutality, fighting for immigrant rights, and struggling against racism, sexism, homophobia, and all forms of bigotry. We stand in solidarity with oppressed peoples around the world resisting imperialism. We believe the crimes of capitalism call for a new kind of society, and we are committed to fighting for it. To find a PSL branch near you, see our upcoming events and learn more about how you can get involved. PSLweb.org. Again, that's PSLweb.org. Also, the PSL's Liberation newspaper online at liberationnews.org, where you can read our news articles and analysis or purchase a subscription to the print edition. Thank you for listening.